Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's Gospel Truth broadcast. Tomorrow is going to be the last day of my teaching on how to stay positive in a negative world. So we're right to the end of this teaching. This was taken from our Gospel Truth seminar in Phoenix, Arizona, back at the first of the year. And I believe that this has been a really, really good teaching. Yesterday I began. Today I'm going to continue talking about how that Paul said that his afflictions were just like a light affliction. And he gave two reasons. The first one was that it's because it's just for a moment. And that's what yesterday's broadcast was about how you have to take the Word of God and read and realize that all of the pressures and the problems of this world are just for a moment, that we're going to live forever in eternity. And when you get that eternal perspective, it really does shrink your problems down to where, compared to eternity and all of the benefits that we're going to have in eternity, the problems of this world are very, very minor. Now, somebody might really choke on what I just said, and that's because you are so magnifying what you are dealing with at this moment, and you've forgotten eternal perspectives. But that's what Paul was talking about. And then today, I'm going to start talking about how that another key, the second thing that Paul said was that you have to look at the things that are not seen. And of course, a person who only goes by their physical sight and doesn't have any spiritual perception, they don't listen with their heart, they just, it's like hitting a wall for them. Like, how do you see something that you haven't seen? Well, I'm glad that you asked. That's what today's broadcast is all about. And so we're going to go right back into this. Remember that this is taken from a live Gospel Truth seminar. If you've never attended one of these, I encourage you to come. It would be really good. And remember that tomorrow is going to be our last day for this entire series. So be ready at the end of the program to call or write and receive this product. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Now think about this. He says we are looking not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. How do you see something that isn't seen? Paul is saying, I'm looking not at the things which are seen, but I'm looking at the things which are not seen. You know, most people, when they read the Bible, they honestly don't use their brain. They're reading so that they can fill out a card on their thing that I've read my daily Bible readings, and it's a duty, and they don't sit there and meditate. If you would use your head for something besides a hat rack, it would really help you to get revelation out of the Word. What does it mean when he says, I'm looking at the things that can't be seen? You have an ability to see with your heart. I'm going to say some things really quickly. I could teach on this for hours, and so I don't have time to verify all of this. I've got other teachings that go along with it that'll go into more detail. But let me just say that when God created Adam and Eve, I don't believe He created them exactly the way we see people function today. I believe God created us not with just five senses, but with six senses. And our sixth sense was faith. That we had an ability to see with our heart and know things in our heart that you can't see with your eyes. You know, animals can perceive things in the spiritual realm that people can't. One of the scriptural examples of this is Balaam's donkey. Balaam's donkey saw the angel standing there with a sword drawn in his hand, and Balaam couldn't see it. Animals have an ability to perceive things in the spirit realm. I've had horses all of my life, and horses can tell if you're fearful. They can sense fear, or they can sense confidence in things like this. Animals have an ability to perceive things. I believe that when God created man, we weren't. I believe in evolution. I believe we have evolved, de-evolved. We started out much greater than what we are. We used to be able to see things that we can't see now. Our appendix used to have a purpose. They don't know what purpose it serves now, but you know what? We used to have faith. We used to see things by faith.
Again, I'm not going to take time to turn over there because I'll get sidetracked and preach on this all night long. But in Genesis chapter 3, it says that when Satan tempted them, it says when Eve saw that the tree was good for food. And the scripture says that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was in the midst of the garden. If you look that up in the Greek, it's talking about a mathematical term that if you took two diagonals through the Garden of Eden, the intersection of those two diagonals would be the midst of the garden. Now, the significance of that is this tree wasn't over in a corner someplace where it was out of view and they never saw it. It was by virtue of the fact it was in the midst of the garden, they passed this tree more than they had passed any other tree in the garden. It was always there, and yet they had never noticed this tree. She had never looked at the tree. Now see, with us, our fallen human nature, where we aren't walking by faith and we're walking by sight, if God told us not to do something, we would build a fence around it to keep us from touching it, but we would lean as far over the fence as we could, and we'd study that tree. Why did God tell me not to eat of that? What is God up to? I wonder what's wrong. We would analyze it to the max. They hadn't even noticed it because God told them that it wasn't for them, and they hadn't noticed it. And here's my understanding of that. They weren't walking by sight. They were walking by faith. And to prove that, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, the first thing that happened after they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it says that their eyes of them both were opened and that they knew that they were naked. They had never noticed they were naked before. And some people say, well, they were clothed with the glory of God. They had a robe of righteousness over them. And they spiritualize it. But if you'll go back to the last verse, I think it's Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. It says, they were both naked, the man and his wife. You can make analogies and you can say they were clothed with the glory of God for the purposes of illustration. But the truth is, they were both but naked. Amen. They did not have any clothes on. Adam and Eve were naked for days, weeks, months, years, and never noticed that they were naked. And when they ate of the tree, all of a sudden their eyes were open and they saw that they were naked. How could you not know you were naked? You know how? They were walking by faith and not by sight. They had five senses because when they were tempted and told about the tree, all of a sudden they started looking at it. They had eyes, but they weren't walking by sight. They were walking by faith. If you're still in 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, which I'm headed that way if I can talk quick enough, it says we walk by faith and not by sight. That's the way that we as believers are supposed to walk, where faith is controlling us. Faith is dominating us and not our physical eyesight. And that's the way that God created Adam and Eve to be. They were walking so much by faith that they didn't even notice whether they were clothed or whether the other person was clothed or not. They were so God conscious. They were seeing with their heart that they didn't even notice each other in the flesh. Most of you are sitting here just thinking, I can't relate. I can't understand. But this is where God created us to be. Are you still in 2 Corinthians? Chapter 5, verse 16. Look at this. He says, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. You know what this is talking about? Paul is saying that there was a time that they knew Christ in the physical. They knew what he looked like. They knew how tall he was. They knew what color his hair was. They knew how big his nose was, what color his eyes were. They knew him by the flesh. He says there was a time we knew him in the flesh, but we don't know him that way anymore. You know, John, the person who wrote the book of John, one of the apostles, at the Last Supper, he laid his head over on Jesus' chest. They didn't sit at chairs around tables the way we did. They had a real low table and they had pillows and they reclined on them. And John and Jesus loved each other so much that as they were eating supper, John just put his head over on Jesus' chest and leaned on him. Nothing wrong with that. It was just affection. It was the kind of love that Jesus had among his disciples. Did you know that Jesus didn't change one bit? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But in the first chapter of the book of Revelation, the same man, John, saw Jesus now in his glorified body and saw him with his hair as white as snow and his eyes like flame of fire and his feet were like polished brass. And when he spoke, it was like Niagara Falls. It was the sound of many waters. And it was so majestic and awesome that the same man who had put his head over on Jesus' chest when he was wrapped in a physical body that kept him from seeing who Jesus really was, the same man who had been that familiar with him, now when he saw him in his glory, fell at his feet as if he was dead. He nearly died of a heart attack, and God had to strengthen him. Jesus didn't change. The only thing that happened was John's perception of who Jesus was changed. And you know what? Jesus was the same. When Jesus stood on the Mount of Transfiguration, and all of a sudden he began to radiate light, it became so bright it said that you couldn't even look at it. Did you know all that happened was this physical body was like a veil, a curtain that Jesus wore around him, and people knew him in the flesh. They could see his flesh, and it kept people from being afraid and overwhelmed by him. But Jesus was God on the inside. And when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration, it's just like they drew that curtain back for a moment so that he could fellowship with his Father the way he really was. And when his disciples looked, he was radiating light like the sun. That's the way that he always was, but that veil was over that kept people from seeing it. Did you know when God originally created us, we could see that glory? We could see with our heart. We could perceive what was going on in the Spirit. Men walked by faith and not by sight, and they were so God-conscious that they never even looked at themselves. Not because they didn't have the capability. They were just so occupied by God that they had never even noticed whether they had clothes. And the moment that they sinned and that life of God was cut off, their spiritual eyes closed. And it says in Genesis 3:7, their eyes were open. Do you think that Adam and Eve had been walking around with their eyes closed for weeks, months, years? No, their eyes had been open. But their spiritual sight, faith, was so dominant, it was like they weren't seeing with their eyes, they were seeing with their heart. When it says that they saw the Lord, when they heard the voice of the Lord, now this is a little bit of liberty on my part, but I've studied this, and I don't think that they saw him with their physical eyes. I don't believe that they heard him with their physical ears. I believe that they were hearing him with faith, the same way that we can hear God. They were in tune. That God was what they heard, the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the midst, in the cool of the evening. They were doing this all by faith. You have ears on the inside. This is what Jesus said when he says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Every person in the group had physical ears, but he says, "If you can hear with your heart, then listen to what I'm saying." Adam and Eve were able to see into the spiritual realm with their heart. They were able to hear things, God speaking to them with their heart. This is the way that God created them. And when they ate of this tree and sinned, their spiritual eyesight and hearing quit, and they were left to nothing but their five senses, which is the way most of us have thought that's the only way we can live. And if we can't see it, taste it, hear it, smell it, or feel it, it doesn't exist. And so we come into a problem about the Bible says we're healed. And so we pray and get prayer, but then we run immediately to get a test and see if we were really healed. We think that nothing happens until it's manifest in the flesh. And yet the Scripture shows us that there's all kinds of things happening in the spiritual realm. Again, for time's sake, I'm talking as fast as I can. I'm not going to take time to turn over there and read it, but in 2 Kings chapter 6, there's an example of Elisha, the prophet, who is telling the king of Israel all of the plans of the king of Syria. They were at war with each other, and every time the king of Syria would invade the nation of Israel, Elisha would tell the king about it, and the king would go and ambush the king of Syria's ambush. And this happened so many times that finally the king of Syria says, "Somebody here's a traitor. Somebody has to be giving the king of Israel my battle plans. And one of his servants says, it's not any of us. It's Elisha, the prophet of God. He tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedchamber. And man, the king was just shocked. So he sent his armies down to Dothan where Elisha was. And when Elisha's servant got up in the morning, he went out and stood on the walls of the city and he looked, and the city was completely surrounded by the Syrians. And so he ran to Elisha and he said, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" He knew that they had been giving away the battle plans. He knew that somebody had to have found out what was going on. And this servant knew that Elisha and him were in big trouble. Amen. And so he says, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" Which is old English for he panicked. And here's the way that Elisha responded. He answered, he says, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Now, you know, this is a great example because there's a lot of people that when you say, "In the name of Jesus, I'm healed," you got a lot of people that'll say, "Oh, yeah, this is one of those name it, claim it, blab it, grab it guys. They just say that it's so when it's really not so. And if you'll say that it's so long enough, maybe it'll become so." That's what people think faith is. That's not faith. Faith is not faking it until you make it. That's what a lot of people think faith is. But what faith is perceiving that there is more to reality than this physical realm. If all you think is real is this physical realm, then Elisha lied. Because he said there's more with us than there are with them. And if all you do is check the physical realm, then he lied. Because you could count the Syrians by 1,000, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, and then you look over and go, 1,000. If all you're doing is looking in the natural realm, Elisha lied. And this is what a lot of people think that faith people are when they say, "I'm healed." And anybody can tell by looking at you that you're sick. And they think, "Well, you're a liar. You're just lying and hoping that it'll become real." And that's what a lot of people think faith is. And it would be a lie if all that's real is what you can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. And this is what our world thinks today. Our scientific community, our enlightened, sophisticated age believes that if you can't prove it in a test tube, then it doesn't exist. I've heard people before on a talk show call in and start talking about God or something. And I've heard the talk show host say, "Now, hey, we aren't having any of that. We're only dealing with reality, no opinions, no anything." And they think that if you can't prove it in a test tube, it doesn't exist. Let me just be as polite as I can be about that, that is ignorance gone to seed. There is an entire universe and things that exist beyond your ability to see, taste, hear, and feel. The Bible teaches us that there's angels. There's angels in this room tonight. And there's demons in this room. Somebody says, "Well, I hadn't seen them." That doesn't mean that they aren't here. You haven't seen television signals. And yet they're in this room. And if you say, "Well, they are not because I can't see or hear them." It doesn't mean that they aren't here. It just means you aren't real smart. There are television and radio signals in this room. And all you have to do is put a television set up here and plug it in, turn it on, tune it in. And when that television set starts broadcasting an image and you hear the sound, is not when the signal starts. The signal's already here in an unseen realm. That television set just perceives something that you can't perceive with your little peanut brain, and then it puts it back into a realm that you can see and perceive. But it's here. Radio signals, television signals are here. Angels are in this room. Demons are in this room. Somebody says, "Well, no demons. We've prayed. We bound all the devils out of here. A devil couldn't get in here." Well, then we wouldn't have near as many people in this room. I'm not saying that to be critical, but did you know what? Depression is demonic. Jesus cast sickness out of people. Deafness is demonic. We've seen 30 people healed of deafness this week. And the scripture says that he cast a spirit of deafness, a spirit of blindness out. There's a lot of things that are demonic. Poverty is demonic. If you believe that God is mad at you, that's a demonic power. There's demons in this room. There's spirits in this room. Angelic and demonic spirits. If you don't believe that they're here just because you can't see them, it doesn't mean that they aren't here. It just means that you are carnal. The word carnal doesn't mean sinful. It doesn't mean bad. It just means of the five senses. You are limited to your five senses. You can't believe that anything exists that you can't see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. That's carnal. The word carnal means of the five senses. That's what it's talking about. And sad to say, most people are carnal. But see, Paul was saying, I'm seeing things that you can't see. Christians have an ability to see with their heart, to walk by faith. I can't see any angels in this room, but I know they're here. I've had people before who saw angels standing behind me when I ministered. I've never seen them, but I know that they're there. I could even tell you two of their names. I can. Goodness and mercy. It says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the day. So one of my angels is named Goodness and one's named Mercy. And Gail told me that another one, he says, surely goodness and mercy. So I could even say one of them, surely, amen. I know that angels are here. Just because I can't see it doesn't mean that they aren't here. Somebody's like, well, I would never live that way, living by superstition. It's not superstition if it's based on what God's Word says. God's Word is forever settled. This shows us what's going on in the spirit realm. And if what you are seeing and hearing and believing is consistent with Scripture, it is not superstition. Now, certainly, there's been people that in the name of the Lord have claimed all kinds of weird things and they've given Christianity a bad name. And I hadn't even got time to defend that. I'm not saying that every person who claims something that they see or feel something or know something is correct. But if it lines up with the Word of God, if it is based on Scripture, then it's true. This is how you see into the spirit realm. John 6:63 says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. This is your window into the spirit realm. What are you like? What is really going on in your life? This will tell you. This will tell you that you can do all things. You go look in the mirror and with your carnal mind think, I can't do it. But if you could see with your heart, you could say, I can do all things. You could see yourself in Christ Jesus, that as He is, so am I in this world. You could see yourself that greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. You can see with your heart. This is what Paul is talking about. I'm not looking at things that are seen. I'm looking at things that can't be seen. So going back to 2 Kings chapter 6, after Gehazi, Elisha's servant, said, what are we going to do? He said, fear not. Those that be with us are more than those that be with them. And I'm sure Gehazi just thought, oh, sure. You're crazy. You're one of these name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. You're a faith guy. And so you know what he did? He prayed and he said, Lord, open up the young man's eyes. Now, he wasn't talking about his physical eyes. His physical eyes were open. They were as big as saucers looking at all of those Syrians out there. His eyes were open. He wasn't praying about God opening up his eyes. He was praying about open up his sixth sense, his ability to see with his heart. God, let him see in the spirit realm. And the Lord opened up his spiritual eyes. And sure enough, on the mountains round about them were horses and chariots of fire, the angels of God. And you know what? What Elisha said wasn't a lie. He wasn't just saying that something was so when it wasn't so. He was saying the truth if you take all of reality into account. If you take the spiritual realm into account, he didn't lie. He was speaking the truth.
Join us again tomorrow as Andrew continues his teaching titled, How to Stay Positive in a Negative World. Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Stay Positive in a Negative World, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV for a gift of any amount. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The fifth teaching in the How to Stay Positive in a Negative World series is available on CD for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will send this fifth CD free of charge when you write or call. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled God Wants You Well for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Woodland Park, Colorado, June 26th for the Pikes Peak Christian Artist Festival, in Colorado Springs for the Summer Family Bible Conference, June 28th through July 2nd, and in Minneapolis, Minnesota for a Gospel Truth Seminar, July 15th through the 17th. He'll also be in Durant, Oklahoma, July 28th through the 30th, and in Boston, Massachusetts for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 12th through the 14th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
It's our premier event of the year, the 2010 Summer Family Bible Conference in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Join us Monday, June 28th through Friday, July 2nd at the beautiful Crown Plaza Hotel for an experience you'll never forget. Morning speakers include Karis Bible College instructors, and Andrew Womack will be teaching each evening.
How good it is to give thanks unto the Lord.
Praise and worship with Charlie and Jill LeBlanc.
To give thanks.
A full children's ministry and so much more. Bring the family and enjoy Colorado. For reservations and more info, log on to awmi.net and click on Meetings. The 2010 Summer Family Bible Conference, June 28th through July 2nd.
The Great Abbey at Pannonhalma, Hungary, has stood like a city on a hill for 11 centuries, declaring the authority and majesty of the Roman Catholic Church. But in recent years, the Archabbot felt the need for a true spiritual revival, and he opened the doors to Andrew Womack.
But it was when I finally quit trying to earn God's love and just asked for it by grace that I experienced it.
Andrew's teachings are transforming the monks and students in several abbeys in Hungary today. For a complete report on this story, go to awmi.net and click on Today's News Feature. Invest yourself in a message that brings new life.